Well, let's just say this clearly. We are going to weekly and in connection group say, we believe that God's asking us to move into this, and that's going to take God's people stepping up in generosity. Mm. So that's true.
Yep.
But also, our preaching plan, we'll mention that in the preaching plan, but what we're going to do in our preaching plan is actually teach on the things that we're trying to accomplish. So we're going to talk about the community that we live in out of Jeremiah. We're going to talk about why we give. We're going to talk about the importance of reaching the next generation. We're going to talk about planting churches. We're going to talk about world missions. We're going to talk about how we have the kingdom values of generosity in ourselves. So what we're going to try to do is preach through this sermon series on not just about we want you to consider your finances, but also reminding our people the things we're setting out to do are near and dear to the heart of God. Yes. And in the fabric of the scriptures. So the reason it's worth giving is because we're trying to move forward in the things that God's asked us to move forward in.
Welcome to Keystone Conversations, our podcast on the topics and issues important to the Keystone family. Our hope is to give insight, wisdom, and resources as you press on to know and follow Jesus. I'm Randy Woodbury, executive pastor here at Keystone, and with me is Brent Minter, our lead pastor.
Hello, good friend.
And a good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you. You never want to know which time you're taping, so
yeah.
You always put them all out there.
I love it.
Excited today, Brent. We get to take a deeper dive into a topic that is on all of our minds right now. We've had some events, we've had some vision nights, we've had a lot of conversations, and that topic is shift.
Yeah. I mean, Randy, you know this. One of our jobs as elders and leaders of the church is to, to the best we can, discern the calling and where God's leading us as a church, and to make real practical efforts to move in that direction.
Right.
And for a number of reasons that we'll discuss, we're in a new season. I mean, for those who've been around for a long time can remember, I mean, you go all the way back, you can remember when we needed to add more kid space with the Grow campaign. You can remember when it was really clear that our building could not be more expanded or facilitate what God had done, and we needed to get new ground. We called that season unfinished. And this season is a season we are calling shift, which is inside of the next few years for us to be set up to hit what we really want to do over the next really 8 to 9 years in our church,
right?
Which is to make an incredible shift in our community from the drift towards godlessness to a shift towards gospel engagement. And so for us to accomplish that over the next 8 years means we got to step into a season now,
right?
For us to move in that direction. And I know that our people are receiving that and excited and have questions and full of vision and faith and also questions. And so today, what we're really hoping to do is to get really practical beyond vision and answer some questions.
So that's what we're going to do. And so these have been curated from conversations, from meetings, and we are so grateful for people's feedback because that helps us say, hey, what can we speak to more? What can we clarify more? Because at every stage of the process of the season, we want clarity, but we also know this is a big project and people are busy. And so some of this might be a repeat. We're going to try and answer as much as we can today, but we might not answer everything and we'll get to it another time.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to take a good faith effort and start plowing through some of these. Some of them will be vision-y and theme-based. Some of them will be really practical. And so buckle up. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So let's start with this, Brent. One of the top concerns we've heard, and it's a great one. You know, you always fear these sometimes when you hear, well, I'm concerned. Here's the concern. We're such a big, diverse, evolving congregation. How do we shepherd people well from the person that's been here, I'll use myself, since we opened our doors in 2012 to the person that just came here 3 weeks ago and everyone in between? How are we going to shepherd people well through shift, given our size and diversity?
It's an incredible question. And let's just put some, you know, you can tell your story. First day, 2012.
Totally,
that's your
overdressed
personal story. Yeah, that's really funny. To the person who came here 3 weeks ago, let's put some real, beyond your story.
Right.
Our Keystone knows that we do a survey every year.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, what we found out is that in the congregation, 45% of the people sitting in our auditorium last year had been at Keystone 2 years or less.
Yeah.
And so you fast forward that another year, and we've seen the growth, and then you actually, like, what we would say is way less than 50% of our church has been with us in the last major season of Keystone, which mm-hmm. was going from 849 our old building, raising the money, surviving COVID, praise God, and getting yes. here. And so there is a big, in church world, this is scary, we're split. Mm-hmm. There's two unique groups of people at Keystone, and there are people who have been with us through so many changes and so many unique seasons.
That's right.
And that, you know, sometimes it's like, this is the season of we're sending our first church plant. This is mm-hmm. the season of we're starting Salt Company. There's been a lot of seasons at Keystone. And then there's a lot of new people. And so what we're actually moving into this season eager because mm-hmm. we have so many what we call OGs, like which those are people who've been here for a very, very, very long time, you know, initial members of Keystone, those kinds of folks.
Right.
And they've been through multiple seasons. And what we want to come and remind that group, hey guys, look at God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Look at what he's done with our time and our talents and our treasure if we've invested it in this place and trying to remind them of the eternal value that has happened because of their investment here.
Right.
Honestly, that's me. That's you. Mm-hmm. And that's reminding us of like, it's fun to start of like, oh, this might be cool. And now you wake up and go, okay, this thing is continuing to grow and expand. And how do we shepherd it? And the answer is, for me personally, as I've reflected, is to remind myself of what I give to the kingdom matters the most. Mm-hmm. And there has been incredible work and gospel transformation in lives and families of this place. And I'm reminded in this season, not about the need, but about how God uses what we offer to him.
Right.
And then there's the new people who we're trying to say, hey guys, do you see what we believe God is going to ask us to do in this community and can you get along? And so that's a big tension for us is to try to encourage those who've been with us a long time and also ignite those
right.
who are pretty new to this context of, and when we say new to this context, that's some people who've never given themselves to a vision, whether it's financial or otherwise. They're just going, I came into here and God changed my life and now what? And we're going to invite them, be a part and do it for the next person.
Right.
And so it's all in between, and that's one of our goals through this process.
That's a great reminder of, as you think of, especially when you're talking about, you know, buildings or programs or ministries and money, sometimes it takes a separate segment for us to think about it, but think of a people's knowledge of the Bible.
Yep.
Our knowledge of the Bible across the congregation is very diverse.
Yes.
It's evolving, it's changing, and we're trying to fit everyone and equip everyone and shepherd everyone.
Yeah.
Similar thing here with yeah. generosity, with yeah. joyfulness, with intentionality. And so I think a good reminder for our people is your response in faith before God, before the Holy Spirit may look different
yeah.
than the person that's only been here a week
yeah.
or the person that's been here 12 years.
Yeah.
And that's all good.
Yeah. And I think this actually turns us really quickly to what we're setting out to do, Randy.
Our primary goal.
Let's talk about what we're trying to do in Shift because we just talked about the tension, but now let's talk about what our goals are. Number one is we will say our primary goal is 100% engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that feels flowery.
Yeah. We get a little flack for that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
That seems very...
Like, well, what do you mean? Let me tell you what we mean. We want 100% of the people who call Keystone home engaged in this process. And that's actually giving credibility to the diversity.
Yes.
What we're trying to say is, it doesn't matter if you've been here one day or you've been here 12 years. It doesn't matter. We're trying to call our church back to this vision of reaching our city, our community, our campus, and also the world, and reminding ourselves, let's not grow weary in doing good. Let's not just settle for what we've seen God do. And we want to cause the people who have been a part of this vision from day one and right now and say, let's all engage this. Mm. It with dependence on God. Listen, some of us older saints, I put myself in that category, need to be reminded of the dependence of God.
So good.
We need to be remembered by faith. We need to restir our faith. God, could you actually use this church to reach this community at significant culture-changing levels?
Mm-hmm.
And could you still plant churches out of this place? And could we send mission? Like, God, reimagine our faith that our neighbors really do need Jesus and we really can step into that
Love
space.
It.
But also generosity. That we would all look in this season and be reminded that everything that we have is from God.
Mm.
Randy, whether we needed money to accomplish the vision or not, I don't know a single Christ follower who does not need to be challenged in their money and the way they spend.
Yeah.
At least once a year.
Yeah.
So we haven't done it in a long time at Keystone.
Right.
But we want 100% of people to engage and say, God, with the resources you've given me, am I allocating it? And am I generous? And am I putting it in the right places before you and before my balance sheet and all, like, God, am I trusting you? And we want every person in our church to be asking those questions, especially in an affluent place like Ankeny, Iowa.
That's a great reminder. And I think just to dig a little bit deeper with that, because some things that jump out to me, vision will always unite you more than money.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We want 100% engagement with the vision of what we're doing here. Some people have been uniquely positioned where money and generosity plays in that role, and we're going to lean into that too.
Yeah.
But you came from a context, and I'm referring to the South mostly. If we just wanted to hit a number, we just wanted to fund things, you actually don't need 100% engagement.
No.
This is what a lot of feedback we heard.
Yeah.
And that's, we feel, is hurtful to the overall vision of where we want to go.
Oh, man. There are plenty of churches that have several incredibly wealthy people that fund it, and people are not engaged. And so you got money, but no vision and no hands on the plow.
Right. And we're making a specific intentional effort that
that's right.
The 100% engagement is so vital. So it is a kind of a flowery word, as we said.
Yeah.
But it is very
important. But it keeps us honest 100%. To not just raising money, but to raising disciples who want to multiply themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
So good. And then there's the next goal.
Yeah, so let's talk about now. I'll talk about the money since I said downplayed it. But there is a monetary aspect of that with the secondary goal, Brent, and that is $12 million. And let me just set the first stage for this because we are using a one fund concept. We're looking at 2 years. And so you've explained this very well in many areas. Let me just start with that. Of that $12 million, $8 million is 2 years of our normal budget.
That's right.
If we were doing nothing for this season, if there was no shift, we would still need $8 million to come into Keystone over the next 2 years to fund our ministries, to fund Sundays, to fund our missions and everything. What we're asking is for an additional $4 million on top of that for our budget. And we have some very specific impacts and rationales of why we're doing that. Walk us through some of those.
Yeah, I think it's really important that people see that $12 million is a huge number.
Yes, it is.
I mean, that should drop your jaw. But, you know, you're the number guy. But, you know, $8 million of that, the biggest section of that is for what would normally happen in this place. And we're seeking to go above and beyond that $4 million. And that's going to do two things. We say that we want to shift our sending impact, and we want to shift our facility impact. And I want to walk through those and give a little bit of detail what that means. Listen, we're not just about buildings at this place.
Right.
Like, we actually want to be a hub that is sending out and making massive impact in this community, campus, and world. And so the first thing that if we want to shift our sending impact, that's $1.1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to break that down. The first one is our church planting frequency. If you look at our history, we have planted now three churches.
Amen.
I mean, they are in the wild going, and we have a granddaughter church that we didn't plant, but because we planted a healthy church, they're now planting a church.
So
that's incredible. But what we believe, we're in a position to not just do that every 3 years, but to do that every 2 years.
Mm.
And we have the systems and structures to be able to handle that, but planting churches is very expensive.
Yes.
And it's worth it. The ROI, if you're just a business guy, is incredible. The thing that I'm one of the most proud about Keystone is every Sunday that we meet, when you look around in our building, there's more people in our church plants than in our building on Sunday
morning.
That's
awesome. That's so
good. So when you're driving out in the long line and when you're trying to get coffee and find a seat, just know, because of this funding, and our desire to meet it, there's more people in churches we've helped start than just this place.
And
so we want to do that even more, and we're eager to do that. And so that's about $800,000 to fund church plants, to send the money, to also raise up residents. One of the biggest things that we want to do is residencies is how we fuel the pipeline for church planters. And one of the things we want to do is buy a home so that we can house people, because getting people to move to Iowa to train for a couple of years is a hard ask. And one of the biggest issues in this city is housing.
Yes.
And so if we can provide housing, we've already seen a model of that in our context that helps with our church planting. We want to do that with our residencies to make that an easier ability to get people here with us.
Fantastic recruiting.
Yeah. Number two is we want to give more to global giving. We want to, generally speaking, our hope is to get about $200,000 that in a one-time that would come in and that would help continue to fuel our ministries and our missions partners and help missions on the way out of that are the things that are happening outside in the global world, that we'd have more resources to fuel those initiatives that we're moving toward. And lastly is we want to create a new ministry. We're calling it a training ministry. And the idea here is, so we've got the campus when we think of church planting.
Right.
We have the world, but now we're talking about our community. And we've always had this hope, Randy, that the people of Keystone are working in their places and in their neighborhoods being incredible missionaries. But what we found is while people desire that, they often feel ill-equipped to do it.
Mm.
And so we're going to start a comprehensive new ministry. So this is building it. It's also most like bringing some staffing to it. And our hope is to go all the way from helping people identify their call into being trained that they feel comfortable navigating in that space, all the way through that they're paired up with their cohorts
right.
of their peers, the people who feel like God's calling them to their marketplace or their neighborhood or their school, and pulling those people together in cohorts to encourage each other in the long run.
One of the best parts of the last couple of weeks, and hopefully our listeners can have it been to a vision night or even where it was in the church lobby
yeah.
or last couple of weeks, we have a huge board that's, 8 foot high
yeah.
that shows a map of Des Moines and Ankeny area
yeah.
and a pin where everyone is living, working, playing, and learning.
Yeah.
It is the most awe-inspiring, inspirational yeah. thing I've seen in a long time.
So imagine, this is it. So that's where it's happening. This new ministry, our desire is to add rocket fuel to folks.
Yes.
So when they're lit, wherever they live, learn, work, or play, and God's called them to be a salt and light, that they feel confidence and equipped by their church to be that.
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
What a powerful change for yeah. the culture.
And then we move forward, and then we want to shift our facility impact. And so these are things we want to continue to add in ministry, but then people really probably feel more the facility impact because
right.
there's some certain constraints on our building. So we want to add to the building about $2.4 million. And that, Randy, we can, if you see the shift book, you can see some yep. of what that's outlined, but that's adding 4 new classrooms for Keystone Kids. We're out of space in kids.
Yep.
Just a simple fact. We praise God for that. But it turns out, if you say we value the next generation and you run out of space for the next generation, it's time to ante up.
That's right.
And make room so that little kids can hear the gospel of Jesus. Like, this is all for the next generation. We also are going to add bathrooms as we add more square foot and more people in this building. Turns out, people like to go to the restroom on Sunday morning.
Yes.
And so we want to let that be a
more
pleasant
options.
Experience. And lastly, a part of that huge $2.4 million is adding on to the venue. The venue has been awesome, but it's also shown itself to not be large enough for a lot of the things that
right.
we want to do. So we're adding on to that to make it, it's not quite doubled in size, but to add significantly and let it be more of a permanent fixture of a secondary facility that can house up to 350 folks in that space.
What a great response to the growth we've seen.
Yeah.
And also, as we've reminded people, this was just a reaction to during COVID, we had to reduce the footprint of the building some
yeah.
due to cost. And this was the one area, these classrooms,
yeah.
that we knew from the beginning, but you know, this is how the economy went and we adjusted. And so we're so grateful to get that capacity
yeah.
back online.
Yeah, it's really important to us. And we knew that our ratios, when we talk with architects and how big you design the building, that our ratios were not right with how many could be in the auditorium versus how many kids we could house.
Right.
Square footage per seat. I mean,
yep.
there's a whole architectural metric for that. But this will put us way closer to that ratio that we want. And a couple other things is we desire to put a playground in for kids. There's a lot of kids programming that's not Sunday morning. There's not going to be a recess for Sunday morning.
Right.
But there's tons of times where kids are being cared for and a place for them to go run off energy while mom and dad are in a quip or in an event.
Yep.
That's something that's very helpful
Absolutely.
For kids to have a great time at Keystone. And lastly, things move quick here. And part of the, we have about $400,000 right now earmarked for future needs, because everything that needs to be done to this building now is very expensive. And so we're trying to pull some money together so that we can have some cash in hand to move as we need to.
What a great explanation of not only our primary goal, but our secondary goal. And Brent, as you think through this, and you know, people might be thinking, we're probably going to spend some time in our sermon series on this. We're going to talk about, are you just going to ask for my money for 6 weeks straight?
Yeah.
And we're actually being very intentional with our sermon series during the shift season. Walk us through just some of the highlights of how we're going to approach that in terms of talking to our people.
I mean, let's just say this clearly. We are going to weekly, and in connection room, say, we believe that God's asking us to move into this, and that's going to take God's people stepping up in generosity.
Mm.
So that's true.
Yep.
But also, our preaching plan, we'll mention that in the preaching plan, but what we're going to do in our preaching plan is actually teach on the things that we're trying to accomplish. So we're going to talk about the community that we live in out of Jeremiah. We're going to talk about why we give. We're going to talk about the importance of reaching the next generation. We're going to talk about planting churches. We're going to talk about world missions. We're going to talk about how we have the kingdom values of generosity in ourselves. So what we're going to try to do is preach through this sermon series on not just about we want you to consider your finances, but also reminding our people that things we're setting out to do are near and dear to the heart of God and in the fabric of the scriptures. So the reason it's worth giving is because we're trying to move forward in the things that God's asked us to move forward in.
And I think it's a cliche, but it's so helpful, and that's why it became a cliche. The money is a means, but we don't want to forget the end.
That's right.
The end is what we're actually trying to do. And if we had a way for a different means to get to the end, we would love to hear it.
Yeah.
However, this is where we think we're being led to do.
Yeah.
And we'll be faithful to
that. You know, Randy, this is something that's resonated with me. And as I mentioned this and with other people, and we'll get to some other questions, but this is just real.
Yeah.
I don't know why. This is above my pay grade. but what is true is right now, if you're at Keystone, you're a part of the building generation.
Mm.
And we didn't decide that. In this season, God has grown our context, and he's actually calling us. And I say that as the pastor and also as a giver
right.
who's adjusting my personal finances member right of, now. This is me family. Being a Christian and a member of Keystone, not a pastor.
Yep.
But we are a part of the generation that God's asked to build. Like if you look at any legacy ministries, there's always a generation who started and built. Like you think of the farms.
Oh, good. Good.
I mean, there's Century Farms, and there was a generation or two who built it, who got the land, who started the farmstead. And that's who we are at Keystone. And I'm going to delight that when I retire, we hand over a ministry that has built.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And they're going to be able to do other things with the money.
Mm-hmm.
But God is asking, we're a generation that, and on our watch, he's asked us to build. And I mean, every institution, every major church, I can think of every, you know, your family and the farming. Like, that's just something that he's asked us to do, and right. I'm excited. I'm eager to do that.
It'll be a classic 40, 50-year overnight success, right?
Oh, yeah.
You don't remember what happened before. I drive by a Century Farm every day when I drive to work.
Yeah.
And to remember, oh, that's pretty good, and what it took to get there over the years, and that's our role.
That's our role.
That's a great way to put it. As you think, we're actually a unique time here. You mentioned we have recently helped launch our third plant. Can you think of any stories, next gen, that just kind of stick out to you as you think about these? You know, we've talked about means to an ends, the ultimate goals, you know, and one of that is next gen and our church plan. Any story that sticks out to you
just
before we get on to more practical things?
Yeah, this is easy for me because I just got home from the Anthem Hill kickoff. And man, the joy of seeing a new church plant is just so unbelievable. Like my view is remembering Matt wrestling if he's going to come here all the way to like getting here and like, okay, how do you plant a church to it's done? And so now it's launched and watching that. But I think probably the most sweet story of that, and Matt is doing an incredible job. You and I both know that we're
absolutely
on that elder team. So proud of him. But I think one of my favorite stories of that is, one of the guys on that launch team is also taking over all things production and sound.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And he's doing that for SALT. He's doing it for Sunday morning. He's just an incredible volunteer. Here's my favorite part. He got saved February 2024 through SALT Company.
Mm.
So we are not, I mean, we're 18 months from this guy coming from death to life.
Yep.
And he has given his life to move on a church plant, got a job down there, and he is serving on a launch team. And it's unbelievable to see that move. And I think, what a joy to see Jesus changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be 100% engaged.
Yep.
Like, God's not going to call all of us to plant a church.
Right.
Right. But he's going to call you to your workplace or to your home or to your school. I think that this is why we're doing it, right?
Like, that's right.
It's just to continue to move the needle and see people respond. And man, from death to life to on mission with God, and as people come into this place, we want to get really good at that. And that's what our hope is.
As the song says, and we hope God does it again.
Yeah,
and we'll absolutely keep doing that. Well, our next section here, we're going to take it'll probably be a little more rapid fire, where it'll seem like a little more practical questions, but these were questions that most commonly came up while we were talking through this and so far. But let's start with the first one, Brent. We have a building expansion, we have a train ministry, we got missions, we got church planning. Why are we doing these all simultaneously? Aren't we doing these more sequentially?
Oh, man. To be honest, it's easy to see it, but the first thing is this: our desire is to make disciples,
mm-hmm.
and that's how we're saying we're going to reach this community. We want to shift the drift of this community. We want more people in life than death, right?
Right.
But the reality is, in the season that God's asking us to lead Keystone, is for us to do that, it requires facilities,
mm-hmm.
and so we are not going to settle at this church.
Right.
We're not going to go, oh, we made it. We have a beautiful building. Isn't this wonderful?
Yep.
Hell is real.
Yeah.
That is not a construct. That's not a metaphor. That's an eternal reality for human beings who do not know Jesus.
That's right.
And so we are never going to take our foot off the gas to the best we can. Of course, we're going to care for people. Of course, like, that's not what foolishly. But we don't want to settle. We want to keep going. But as we keep going, God continues to bring some more people here. And listen, if you have 10 kids and you have 2-bedroom house, you're going to have to make some changes.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at.
Right.
And it's just at our size and scale, that just means millions of dollars and not just bedrooms. But we're adding bedrooms. We're trying to build a facility that will facilitate the level of ministry that Jesus has brought to us.
That's a great word. That's a key word in all of it, is facilitation. And I think I'd like to remind people, it is, everything we do here is interconnected. They're not isolated.
That's right.
When you plant churches and you have that vision and you reach the next generation, that movement of God brings more people to your context, which we have to be faithful to serve and shepherd, which then requires more. You know, it is all interconnected. None of these are just a one-off standoff.
Yeah.
And we could do that and it would fizzle out.
Yeah. And I would say this, I recently was at some churches and touring their facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Our building is beautiful and nice. It is also really efficient. We do not have wasted space.
No.
I mean, I get it. On Sunday, not every day is it full. It's full Sunday morning. It's full Wednesday nights. It's full Thursday nights. Like, equipping spaces are booked out. Like, We're not building excess for funsies.
Correct.
we are building bare minimum to accomplish the ministry God's given us.
Good word. That's a good word. Hey, what about the long-term plan beyond these next 2 years? What do you see? Is this, you've gotten the question, are we just going to do this every 2 years, or what's going on here?
Yeah. Well, to date, we, outside of COVID, we don't have a season of not growing.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that healthy things grow. And we see when the gospel's on fire and the people are full of the Spirit of God and they're on mission with Him, the church grew in Acts. Like, there's times where 3,000 people are coming in a day.
Yeah.
We take the gospel serious. So we're never, to the best, we're going to keep preaching the gospel.
Right.
And so the more people come, the more we feel the responsibility to be a part of. So what is the vision over the next 2 years? Actually, the vision has nothing to do with buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at our strategic plan through 2033, and there's not one mention of buildings.
Right.
However, there's a mention of how the impact we're going to have in this community. And as we accomplish that, we will have to continue providing space. So we're going to be measured about that. But if the church continues to grow and we don't have space and we can't add services, I'm not going to look at King Jesus and be like, yeah, we didn't want to do another campaign, you know? And Randy, you know this. We're not ginning up growth.
Mm-mm.
We're just trying to preach and be faithful and provide space for people. And so is there another campaign in the future?
Don't know,
but it's possible. It's
right.
Certainly possible. And it's something that we will all take our breath and then joyfully, if that's what God has for us, we'll joyfully grab a hold of that plow and keep plowing.
One of the things I thought about, and I mentioned this at the Connection Group Leader event though, but I do think it's one of the things God's using to keep us humble.
Oh man.
You know, you talked about it in various forms about settling, stopping, and shifting.
Yeah.
And man, it'd be easy.
It'd be easy.
But I think by continuously to step out by faith,
yeah,
when it's uncomfortable, is a way for God to continue to push us to say where are our eyes looking toward.
Yeah. I mean, if your goal is let's have a nice worship service and good Christian friends, we can settle.
Yeah.
Because I certainly feel like we're accomplishing that.
Right.
If though our goal is to shift the drift of this community and make culture changing impact with the gospel in our community and beyond, we haven't even gotten started.
That's right. Well, let's talk through some alternatives that might come to mind, and people had this. One, Brent, I've heard this a few times. Would we ever do a second Ankeny location or adopt another church in the future? Is there any other model of what, are we planning any other model of how to run this?
Yeah, I can answer that really clearly. As elders, we sought after this a long time ago, and nothing's changed to this day. We want to be one church in Ankeny.
Yep.
And we could have tried to do multi-sites instead of building this big building. And we actually said for our community in Ankeny, we believe that right now God's calling us to be one congregation.
Yep.
And so that's the reason we bought the 18 acres and that sort of stuff. And so that's, could God change that in years to come because of constraints and pivots? Of course. But right now, that's our goal is in Ankeny. Would we be willing to do sites in the future? I think we're more lent ourselves to planting churches.
That's right.
So if in the long run we would want to plant churches or start with a satellite so we could plant, maybe. But there's no plans, but we're open. We believe that we have more planting capacity than just planting Collegiate World.
That's right.
But we're asking God to show us that and to bring it real into clarity. And if he does, we'll always respond.
Well, let's do the flip side of that. Is this initiative big enough to match our ongoing growth?
That's a great, it's enough of what the resources we have. Listen, we will respond with the resources. There's no question, I've always heard it said, if your vision is not bigger than your provision, you're not dreaming big enough.
Yeah.
And what we see is that God always gives provision. You look at Ezra, we're just watching this. When they went back, the king provided and the people gave free will offerings and they responded with the provision that they were given. And so we're always going to give in the provision. It's like last time, we knew our building, we needed those extra classrooms, but we had only a certain provision. So we're constantly measuring like our vision of 2033 and what could happen in this city is way bigger than what we're asking for today.
And I think it's also good to remind everyone that, you know, we seek wisdom when we do these decisions. The elders talk to consultants and people we trust in terms of, hey, too little, too much.
Yep.
And I think the feedback, if I could be frank, was it's a lot tighter than you think in terms of going too little and doing too much.
Yeah.
You know, you think, oh, we're talking millions of dollars, you know, 20 million is too much, two is too little. No, it's much tighter than that. Where the range of us stepping out with wisdom or not even having to do a season at all is actually pretty narrow. And so we've thought hard and prayed about what's right and the best of our ability, as you said, this is what we think we
can do. And I think we are both operating in faith, but we have always tried to be conservative in our, not get over our skis with vision and not have the resources and get upside down.
We talk a lot about healthy tensions.
Yes.
That's a healthy tension of going too far, going too little, and challenging each other to do that.
Yeah.
Let's bring it home a little more personal, Brent. I've heard this a lot. What exactly do you expect of me? I'm a Connection Group leader.
Yeah.
I'm a member. I'm just an attender. What is my role to be faithful during the shift season.
Yeah. It's so easy. Refer to our primary goal, 100% engagement.
Mm.
I'm having these conversations with a lot of folks about finances. And I've had several people say, so what do you want from me, Brent? And I say, I'm not going to tell you. I want you to wrestle with God.
Mm-hmm.
What do I want? I want you to not go, oh my gosh, we can't give anymore. I want you to wrestle with God. I don't want you to go, I can't be more dependent. I want you to wrestle with God. I want you, whether you're leading a connection group, you've been here forever, a member, you barely stepped in, or you even go to Keystone mm-hmm. and you're just listening to this podcast.
Right.
May we all as a people be dependent upon God and be honest with God. God, am I actually dependent upon you? Number two is really begin to live by faith. God, what kind of faith would you give me to see what impact could happen in the world I live in?
Mm.
Like, what faith do I need of what might God want to do with this building generation of Keystone? But then also, how does that impact generosity? Randy, I'm being honest now. When we realized we're going to have to raise money, I wasn't excited.
Yeah.
Okay, when you're in ministry and you're a leader, I think this is my fifth
campaign
in my life. Mm. And when you're a leader in a church, you don't get to give little. You got to set pace.
That's right.
Okay? So my kids are in college. I'm not excited to think about giving financially.
That's right.
And then as I took that to the Lord, I went from like a deep breath and oh boy to let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got out of my head.
Right.
And I got into, God, what do you want from me? How can I do this? What are you asking of me? How can I trust you? God, does this matter in your kingdom? That's what I want from our people, is to engage and ask God some of those questions.
That's so good. And that's, you know, we trust the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's why the Holy Spirit's working your life as you wrestle is what we're focused on.
Yeah.
And so, Brent, as we close, kind of sum up, there is intentionality of why we chose shift as the kind of the key main word.
Yeah.
We're shifting from something to something.
Yeah.
As you try to make this very concrete again for people, and you know, for some of you it's a reminder, but it's just a good reminder of what we're trying to do. What are we trying to shift from into?
Yeah. We're really anchoring it around Romans 12:1.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very common, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. And it goes, don't be conformed to the times of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It goes forward. And what we're trying to say is, number one is in this season, 100% engagement, is God, remind us of your mercy.
Right.
And may it shift the way we live. But as that happens, God's mercy should shift us. It should urge us to sacrificially shift our priorities.
Mm-hmm.
But what I believe is true, Randy, is that as we shift our priorities, we can make culture-changing impact in our community and world. And so this shift word is coming out of Romans 12, but it's also, when you look at our 2033 vision in this house, it's not buildings.
Right.
It's not facilities.
Nope.
But what we desire to do is to shift the drift of this community. The world is not drifting into godliness.
Yeah.
And for the record, in ways that we wouldn't have understood 5 years ago, it seems like there is some level of a rumblings of revival, especially around Gen Z and in our culture. Christians were trying to hide in 2020, and in 2025, we're being bold as lions.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is say, listen, God's put us in Ankeny, Iowa. And we're going to start things outside of this, but to the best that we can, we want to shift the drift of this place. And that happens when people start living by the mercy of God, shifting their priorities with their money to help facilitate ministry, but also with their lives where they live, learn, work, and play.
Right.
And so all of this, it's really the name of this and the desire of this is to actually get us down the road to accomplish what we want to do in this city in the long run. And I believe we can do it.
That's right.
We see rumblings of it. I don't want to tell stories because I want them to unfold and let's see what God does in some of those places and let the seeds of the gospel take fruit and let's actually see that come to fruition and not just hope that it happens, but that we could actually see change in this community, in our schools, in our communities, in our workplaces. And I think we're ripe to do it. And it just takes, it takes leaders who say, let's do it. Here's what it's going to take. And it takes people in this church says, I'm in. Right. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
That's the way. If you learn nothing else from the podcast, say it. Let's go.
Yeah.
There's work to be done.
There's work to be done.
Like, so excited.
It is.
Well, thanks so much for being part of our conversation today. If you'd like to know more about Keystone in general, hear sermons, and listen to the conversations, please visit KeystoneLife.com. Until next time, keep the conversation going.